Thank you. We really wanted to. These two, when they were ready to be baptized, they were like, well, when can we do it? When can we do it? And so, if you're a guest with us this morning, what's really great is you're just as we're going to launch out in a new series on a prayer that Jesus taught his disciples, his teaching on prayer. Last week, we had a message that prepared us well for this. It was the verses that come before this in Matthew chapter 6. And so, not only bear with us, but enter in with us as we just think a little bit about prayer. Jesus said at the start of the passage we had last week, when you pray. And that was his expectations, that those who were following and learning from him would pray, because that's what he did in his pattern of life. They'll surely pray, won't they? Besides which, I've worked out that all of us, at least most of us in Christchurch, are human beings. Most of it, yeah, no, we are, aren't we? And actually, with that, there's this inbuilt sense of reaching out to something that's bigger than the life in which we live and move and have our being. We find that we reach out. The ancient writer in the Old Testament, book of Ecclesiastes, said, it's like God has put eternity in the heart of each human being. There's this reaching out. Words 2,500, 3,000 years ago, and so on. So I was really interested, back in 2018, the company Comres did a poll of people, and they discovered amongst a group of atheists, agnostics, and those with no religious or faith affiliation, 20 out of every 100, all right, admitted to praying. And that's because it's as basic as that. For each of us, something within us longing to connect with someone or something beyond. And you might be sitting there, yeah, no, that's right. These are familiar words that Jesus gave us. We call it the Lord's Prayer. And the heads up for those who are here regularly, you're all invited to be here regularly if you're not part of another church. Over the next 5 weeks, we're going to look at Jesus' model prayer, phrase by phrase. It's a gift that he gave to us. And so we're going to unwrap that gift. And whatever stage of your faith journey that you're at, you, like me, will find we can pray through this prayer. And sometimes you'll just pray through it in the time that it takes to boil a kettle, which might be in a break during the day or at work when you go off to grab a drink. You could just pause. It's a prayer that often we learn by heart, and yet it's also a prayer that shapes our hearts as we pray it. And yet, even more than that, not only shapes our hearts, it also, God starts to shape and direct our lives and our actions and our values. As we pray it, the values here within this prayer become part of us. So we're going to hear the whole of the prayer now. David's going to come up and read it to us. And then we'll go back and look at the first couple of phrases. So there you go. David's coming up now. Thank you.
Morning. Okay, so our reading this morning, as Andrew's alluded to, is from Matthew 6, verses 9 to 15, and I'm reading from the New International Version for those following along. This, then, is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Today, give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Amen.
Amen. Challenging words, some familiar words and so on. Did you notice that phrase? This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. What I'll do just this morning is we'll think about what each part of that phrase that we've got for today means, and then think about how we can weave our own prayers around the words that Jesus gave us in this prayer. And finally, we'll think about how it might this particular phrase might change our outlook and shape the way that we live. This connecting with God, encountering Him, is about being present with God as Father. Our Father in heaven. Key word there is Father. Jesus modeled that frequently in his life. He often is recorded as having prayed to God as Father, and he referred to him as Father. In fact, I was thinking then about his baptism. When he was baptized, something amazing happened. There was this voice heard from heaven, and it's recorded for us in the historical accounts. And this voice said, "This is my son. With him, I'm well pleased." Listen to him. And it's just incredible, isn't it? Jesus knew he was loved by God, that God was well pleased with him, even before he'd started his ministry, that he would go on to do that. And we can know God in this way too. Kathy, Ingrid, you know God in this way. He's pleased with you, not because of anything you've done or are yet to do, just he's pleased with you because he loves you, and he wants you to know he's loved, that you're loved by God. It's true for all of us. Last week, Louis mentioned that not everybody gathered would have a good image when they hear the word Father. Some of us can carry pain or hurt from the attitudes, actions, or absence of a father figure in our lives. He did speak about being a dad himself and his boy just being able to come simply and ask, not needing to have eloquent, long prayers. And I found myself reflecting on being a parent too. I was thinking about it. I summed up parenthood as being jeopardy and mess for some aspects of it. Okay, just bear with me and I will try not to go into all the details. But the point is, jeopardy and mess, and yet the relationship never changes. I'm still delighted when one of them messages and says, "Oh, any chance we could just have a chat?" Or they say, "Oh, let's do this together," and just to be with them. Let me give you an example of the jeopardy and mess. You know, you're looking after a crying baby. They've become uncomfortable whilst feeding or eating, and you're caring for them. And so maybe you've got one there, and you just help them burp or get the wind up or whatever it is. And sometimes that's a moment of jeopardy because it's not just a burp. You get sick all over your shirt, don't you? I've then gone on to a meeting or stood up to preach having just had a baby, just do it all over. Or likewise, when they're tiny, changing a nappy is a moment of jeopardy and sometimes mess, especially if you've got boys. You might know what I mean. And then when they're toddling as well, you know, you're giving them greater freedom and helping them explore and learn and so on. And there are moments where they have a go and then they fall. And there's mess sometimes that goes with that. And it goes on as they're older. And you want the best for them. And they've got a choice to make that they have to make. And you can't make it for them. You've put everything in you possibly can. And there's a moment of jeopardy. Will they take a healthy or a wise choice? And the mess at times, if they don't. It can be a mess, but the point is, it doesn't change the relationship. It doesn't diminish the desire of a dad to spend time with the child. You love it and you love them. Those moments where you can connect deep and so on. When we do turn to connect with God, that's so special, and we should never forget that as we start. Our Father in heaven. You know, there's something, he's knowable, he's dependable, he's delighted when we come to him. That's true for everybody here. If you just pause and turn, and like, even if it's a, "God, are you really there? Show me." He's just been longing for that moment. Because he's adopted, he's made a choice. He's adopted each of us into his family. A choice for you to become a child under his care. And that's really powerful. And that sharing of those two stories, God, Father, over you, seeing, need, providing, taxi, £1 for three of you, just the right number of space, all that. But being there when life feels a mess, being there, speaking, that was amazing. Waiting, turning situations around and leading, guiding and so on. Father's key, but so is the word our. Luke doesn't have that, but it's significant, isn't it? Because when you pause to connect with the heart of God as a child of his, actually in that moment you recognize you're part of a worldwide family of people and right through the ages as well. People he's adopted into his family. And so you're stepping into that. He's the God over all. Matthew also emphasizes the phrase in heaven, brings that into our understanding. I was thinking about this and the times when it's good to get someone from outside a situation that you're in for a perspective that you need. It might be a family situation or work. When I used to teach, I'll do this, and as a church pastor, minister, you know, it may be those around you can't see it or won't say it, but somebody from outside brings a different perspective on how things are and what I am doing well, what I need to change. And those words in heaven reminded me of that. You know, the God we're turning to has a perspective that is beyond the world in which we inhabit, the perspective of heaven. And so these words Jesus gives us, when we pray them, it reminds us we're talking to God himself, who is God. It sounds obvious, but actually that's amazing. And God in heaven there's peace, there's wholeness, there's order, which is very different compared to a world we live in tainted by chaos, human failings at times. In heaven reminds us that we're connecting with the one who's sovereign, who's powerful overall, who brings wholeness and order into our lives. All from that little phrase, our Father in heaven. Hallowed be your name. Or if you like the hallowed be your name, that's fine. But hallowed's not a word we use very often, is it? Unless you're praying this prayer frequently. It speaks of something that's set apart, that's very special, that's sacred, holy. And the idea of a name in the ancient world, it sums up the person's character, the whole totality of who they are. So when we speak of God's name being hallowed, it's like saying everything about God is to be honored, revered, respected. And so as we start out in this prayer, it's encountering, connecting with God. He's been waiting and looking forward to spending time with you. He's the one who is everything a father should be. He's got the perspective of heaven. And we encounter him with familiarity because he's Father, and yet with honor, respect, adoration, and so on. The very fact that we can turn to him in this way is amazing. He's made it possible for us. We can't do it for ourselves. And we come with gratitude and awe. Our God, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Now, can we, in this world full of bing and constant scrolling, news updates and a multitude of distractions, can we encounter and be present with God in those moments? That's the invitation, I think, of this entry into this prayer that Jesus taught us. I was really interested in recent weeks, an award-winning actor, Leslie Manville. She's starring in a play at the National Theatre at the time. She sparked debate by criticising all the people who'd come to the theatre who were taking photos during the curtain call at the end. You know you're not supposed to have your cameras out during the production itself, but people can't resist it. And she was urging the audiences to take the digital out of it just for a moment. Come on, it's theatre, she said. Let's preserve it. Now, this is something that happens in every walk of life. If you're like me, you know, you've been in a moment and you want to capture that moment and you get your phone out and you want to take a photo. And before you can take the photo, the 20 people in front of you have all taken theirs out and you end up taking a photo of 20 people, taking a photo of what you were intending to take a photo of. It happens, doesn't it? But Mama says, you know, hang on a minute, we're all in this room together. We're telling you a story. Clap or don't clap, but don't stick your phone in our face. I find it insulting, she said, and provoked a lovely conversation around this. One Christian, Paul Woolley of LICC, said, the instinct to capture is totally understandable. We want to hold on to meaningful moments, and yet in trying to preserve them, we risk losing them. The act of recording can distance ourselves from it, the experience itself. And his challenge was, have we lost the art of just being fully present with God? And that's the challenge and the invitation in Jesus' words as he launches us on this prayer, to be fully present with God. Father, our Father in heaven, as we pray, switched on, connecting, encountering him in the moment. I said there are two other bits, just a few moments to think through those. How do these words that Jesus gave us inspire other prayers within us? What I call weaving our own prayers of gratitude and adoration around his. I'm guessing that each of us is here this morning because you or someone you know has encountered God. Yeah, and you or they came to a realization God's real, that he sent his son into the world to die and bring life and wholeness, and you or they encountered the living God. And that was never meant to be just a one-off experience, but a whole way of life. That's why Louis' starting point last week of 151 was so helpful, finding one place where you connect with God for at least 5 minutes and bring one honest prayer. And that prayer can just be a moment where you're present, you're still, you're attentive to God, and there are no words even, but a heart full of love and honor. But being present also means speaking, using the words Jesus gave us, listening to God as well. And as we go through this series, what we're going to do is use this image of a trellis. All right, a trellis is like a lattice framework you might put in your garden that you use to guide the climbing plants. And what the Lord's Prayer does is it gives us words that we pray. It's like prayers we simply pray. Sometimes if we're not careful, they can become routine. We don't engage our minds, our hearts, our spirits, and so on. But other times it can be a deep encounter. So we pray them. They have value in themselves. And yet Jesus' words also act as a framework or a trellis around which we can weave and grow our own prayers. Now, you bearing with me on this? So what would that look like for the phrase that we have this morning? Our Father in heaven. That can simply mean just allowing gratitude to come. And so as you pray, Our Father in heaven, you might say, thank you that you've made me your child. Thank you that you stepped into my life when I needed it the most. Thank you for the privilege of knowing you. Thank you for your faithfulness year on year. Thank you, Father, that you've committed to changing me. You didn't leave me as you found me. And so on. And you weave your own prayers, honest prayers, around the words Jesus gave us. Prayers of gratitude. Prayers of adoration, maybe. Father, your name's love. Your name is peace. Your name is healing. It's power. It speaks of your goodness through and through. And so you weave prayers about his name to him, to the Almighty Father in heaven. Hallowed be your name. And you think about his name. May your name be honored by those in positions of power and influence in government and wider society. And so thinking about his name being hallowed, you start to pray around that. I pray for the work of your church across the world. May we reflect your name in such a way that others honor and draw close to you as well. Hallowed be your name. Do you get the idea? Is we can weave our prayers around the prayer that Jesus taught us. As we use that, we then bring our own. It's a bit like, to change the picture altogether, it's a bit like a jazz musician and taking a theme that somebody's played and then improvising that around us, bringing in related melodies and counterpoints and so on. So too, our prayers bring related themes of gratitude, just adoration. You're my father and I'm a child. Or honor, an honor for God's name. That provokes our prayers for that. Which brings us on to what I said earlier, how Jesus' framework for prayer, as we pray it regularly, begins to shape the values within us as well, as they become part of us. And then that's how we live and how we honor God's name in our choices and our actions. We want to do it in his name. I was thinking about the protests opposing the imminent war in Iraq back in 2003. An estimated 1.5 to 2 million people in London alone, millions more worldwide, marched against this imminent war. And the defining slogan plastered across the placards that people held was this: "Not in my name." You know, they were saying to the government, "Don't go to war in my name. We're not really sure it's at all legal worldwide," and so on. And so they were protesting. And we think about, well, can we do this in my name? Is it in God's name? As we encounter God as Father, fully present with him, as we're praying that his name would be honored, we then start to bring that into our lives, wanting whatever happens, our choices and our actions, to reflect God's name and all that God's name stands for. And so when we decide on a course of action, the thing we least want to hear, the thing we want to avoid if at all possible, is hearing that whisper of God saying, "Not in my name, doing that or saying that." You know, sometimes we can do things, maybe even right and good things, but just done in the wrong way. And God's whisper cautions us, even rebukes us, not in my name, not living like that. If you're genuinely encountering God as Father, genuinely praying for his name to be hallowed, then you'll be genuinely seeking to choose what brings honor to his name in the places where you work, the committees you sit on, in your relating with those who live around you, or just along the road. You'll ask yourself, am I showing God's mercy in my dealings with others? Do my actions reflect his generosity, his joy? Is what I'm doing bringing life and health to others, or tearing them down in his name? I think if you have a pause moment on an evening before you head to sleep, or in the morning when you wake, this is a conversation you can have with God as you come into his presence. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. And you review your actions and reactions to others. Have I honored the name of God in how I've been today or how I was yesterday? And you listen to what he's saying. Sometimes that can become, you're just reading a passage that you've got set for that day and you just read it. I know this, the words that I'm reading can suddenly stop me in my tracks. And I think, oh, I need to come to God for forgiveness for that action. It wasn't in his name, and his name wasn't honored and hallowed. So there we are. We start in this series. Thank you for all the guests for bearing with us. Let me encourage you, pray. I know we had a piece of string a few weeks ago, and maybe there are just 5 people on your heart, and each represented by a knot, and you just keep praying for them. This week, on Thursday, because it's the day when the worldwide church marks Jesus ascending into heaven after his resurrection appearances, right through to Pentecost, when we celebrate God pouring out his Spirit upon his church, There's a movement of prayer called Thy Kingdom Come. Sometimes we've linked in with that as a church, and I know some people will be downloading the app afresh to link with that from Thursday. And you might want to do that and just take the Lord's Prayer, and at the start of that time, you just come and go through those words and start to weave around it your own prayer as you pray the prayer that Jesus taught us. Now, let me pray. And I think what we're going to do is just have a moment after that where we respond in song, and we'll use the song that Ingrid chose, because it's a song we call Gratitude. And it just thinks about how God's at work in our lives. And then as we come into his presence, actually our response as we come in is like, oh, Father, Lord, thank you. Thank you. I just want to give myself back to you in love. Let me pray, and then the band will lead us in that. And I'll just remind people of one or two things. So let's just respond. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Our prayer for ourselves, for one another. Will you take those words, and will you come in by the power of your Spirit and make not only those words real to us, but reveal more of yourself to us, each of us, that we might know you, connect, encounter you, and may you so work in our lives that we live lives that honor you. We ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.